Blog Talk Radio.
Damn Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I'll discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, greetings to everybody out there listening to the program today. Hope today finds you doing well. Welcome to Black by Color only on CNM Radio. And if you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284, and you can call in and talk about anything that's related to the subject matter, and I will have to give you the warning, have to give you the fruit bat alert. If you come on this show, and you feel like you want to indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, random insults, gaslighting, things of that sort, trolling, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Be respectful in your interactions on this program. Okay, so we're all adults here. So, you know, we can ditch the verbal conflagrations that have us throwing, slinging sand at one another in a kindergartner sandbox or something like that. You know, I didn't word that pretty well, but you know what I mean. Anyway, before I go into the show, I'm not sure if you all know that I have a blog called blackbycoloronly.com. And I would like to invite you all to go out there. I'm starting to fire up and get some things up on there. I hadn't been there for a year before this year. And I said, you know, I need to be a bit more diligent on this blog. And I set up a couple of new articles for this year. And I'm hoping to, you know, set up several articles every month so that you all won't go there and say, oh, he's just got the same stuff he had here 6 months ago, you know. But I would invite you to go out there, check it out, see what you like about it. You know, give me your critique, give me a comment, whatever, you know. But anyway, we're going to get on with the show. And I don't know what's up with my chat page this morning or this evening. Something's not right. It looks like it's an internet connection or something. But let me do this real quick. and everybody should still hear me. Last week I had a problem. You know, I called into the show and they told me that, you know, I hadn't called in, or somehow the connection got broken and I couldn't get in. But I called back in and they said, okay, you're in now. But, you know, it was saying on my side that, you know, it's waiting for the host to call in, but everybody else was seeing that I had called in and that the show was up and running. And looks like I'm having the same problems this week getting my chat page up. And I don't know why I'm having difficulty getting my chat page up. And just give me a second, because I like the chat page because I get to interact with a lot of different people in the chat page, people who won't come into, who won't come on the phones, which I don't know why people won't come on the phone, because, you know, I'm a really nice guy. I don't know why my chat won't come up, but anyway, the show will go on anyway. I wanted to go to my Gab page. I'm also at Gab. You just look for me, Southeast Vince, at Gab or at Southeast Vince. You know, Gab at Southeast Vince, and you'll see my page up there. And this is the page where I usually put up the news that I come across during the week and that I want to, you know, feed into my show on the weekends. And I want to pull up this first article, which is kind of hilarious to me. And it comes from my good old buddies at The Root. Those of you all know The Root. The Root is a uber black, and I would say, yeah, racist website where people who do not like white people, they can come there and they can hate on white folks as much as they want. And they don't use logic or reasoning in their articles. A lot of these people call themselves journalists and reporters and things like that. But all they want to do is report on how evil white people are and how innocent and pure as the driven snow black people are. That's all they do. And looks like The Root ain't coming up either for some reason. I'm thinking it's my internet connection around here. Ah, there we go. There we go. And the name of this article is 15 People We Could See as the Next Black President. And of course, you know, they say next black president because they think Barack Obama was a black president, was the first black president because he had a little drop of black in him. So that qualified him to be black. But, you know, he really wasn't your typical black person. And be honest with you, I really don't understand the fuss about black president, white president and everything, because, you know, a lot of us black people, we got a little bit of white in us anyway. So, you know, I don't even know what the fuss is about a black president. You know, as if we get a black president, things are going to be better. They weren't better under Obama. You know, we got a so-called black vice president, which she isn't black, but she's Indian. And she's mostly Indian, and Kamala Harris. And she's not doing a doggone thing, but people still fawning over her. You know, because, oh, she's the first black vice president, and she's a woman, and oh, my gosh, and all this and everything. But this is the name of this article is 15 People We Could See as the Next Black President. And they before they go to the article, they have a subtitle that says Kamala Harris, Stacey Abrams, Oprah Winfrey, and others we could totally imagine as the next black president of the United States. Now, let me tell you all something. When they do lists like this, They're not going to put up the names of anyone who is conservative or Republican. To be honest with you. Now, they do have one person up there who he kind of says he's a Republican. I'm not so sure about it. When they do lists like this, when they talk about, you know, they might talk about the best black personalities and, you know, things like that, they're always going to list the liberal black folks. They're not just going to pick out someone for their accomplishments or anything. They want somebody who is liberal. Because they're not going to say something like, Larry Elder can be our next black president, or Clarence Thomas, or Tim Scott, or any of the rest of them, because they don't fit the narrative. Yeah, they're skin folk, but they're not kinfolk. So they don't, in our eyes, they don't qualify because, you know, they're black and they're conservative. That's the only reason. It's not because of their accomplishments. And, you know, for more than 30 years now, I've been trying to get what people do not like about Clarence Thomas. People say he is the most, you know, he's disgusting and he's to be reviled and all this and everything. And I don't know what in the world that makes people so harsh and hostile against Clarence Thomas or Ben Carson or any of the rest of them, except that they are black, but they don't fit the mold of mainstream black America. Because, you know, they're black and they're conservative, as if that is that's a big sin, it's a crime, you know. But let me go on. Let me, it says 15 people we can see as the next black president: Kamala Harris, Stacey Abrams, Oprah Winfrey, and others we could totally imagine as the next black president of the United States. Although Barack Obama was the first black person to become the president of the United States, he was not. You know, they just want to ride that wave. He likely won't be the last. There are plenty of qualified candidates who, wait a minute, qualified? Kamala Harris? When you say qualified, what do you mean? You mean qualified, actually qualified, or qualified in the eyes of liberal black America? Because that's what I think they're saying. They meet our qualifications. They don't meet the general broad qualifications to be president. They just meet the qualifications of liberal black America. And they say there are plenty of qualified candidates who could potentially become the next leader of the nation. I don't disagree with them on that. So on President's Day, we decided to come up with our wish list. Yeah, wish list. Exactly. Wishful thinking. Exactly. Some of the names generated by the Root staff might be expected. Others may surprise you. Tell us what you think and who we might have missed. So let's go into this list of people who could be the next black president. First one up, Stacey Abrams. Now, y'all got to be kidding me. You all have really got to be kidding me. Stacey Abrams has tried multiple times to become the next governor of Georgia, but has lost twice. I wonder why. Along the way, she's gained a huge following and support base. We would not be shocked if she runs for president. I wouldn't be shocked either. I'll be shocked if she wins in the near future, and we'd be even less shocked if she won. Yeah, y'all would be, yeah, because she fits your mold. Not because she's qualified, but because she fits your mold. Let's go on. They don't have a button here. Okay, there we go. Now, this one, Ayanna Pressley, she's one of the, what do they call them, the squadron, the squad in Congress, bald-headed black lady. Ayanna Pressley, one of the politicians at the forefront to ensure abortion access. No one is qualified to be president if they support abortion, if you ask me, especially a black person. Black people don't realize that or let me say mainstream liberal black America, does not realize that the entity called Planned Parenthood, which is the largest provider of abortions in the world today, one of its main goals was to eradicate black people. But the black liberals, they love them. They'll sit here and talk about the Tuskegee experiment, but they seem blissfully ignorant of the Negro Project. And it seems like they don't understand what the Negro Project is. And when you tell them, look at the Negro Project, they don't go and these are the same people that are always telling people, oh, you got to study. You got to learn history. Okay, you want to learn some history? Look up the Negro Project and tell me if Planned Parenthood is a corporation that you need to be supporting, especially black people. Now, when I talk about murdering babies, I don't want to just talk about the murder of black babies. The murder of all babies is a heinous crime. But it surprises me that a lot of black folks will point out the Tuskegee experiment and, you know, sterilization and everything, but they don't realize that the entity that was behind a lot of that was the one that they support today wholeheartedly called Planned Parenthood. And they seem blissfully ignorant of that fact. Representative Ayanna Pressley, Democrat from Massachusetts, will have the support of thousands of women who believe in abortion rights. So that qualifies her to be president because she believes in abortion rights? Come on, folks. You got to give me more than this. Let's see. Let me go to the next one. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it gets better. Cori Bush. One thing we know about Cori Bush, she'll always be one to stand up for black people's rights. Consistently calls out Republicans and anyone else who is doing things that will negatively affect her people. Who are her people? Because I know I'm not her people, because I don't think like Cori Bush or any of the rest of liberal mainstream black America. And the funny thing that gets me about a lot of these black leaders, they act like they speak for all of us. If you're a black person, I'm speaking for you. No, you don't speak for me. I'm out there fighting for your rights, black people, because we go through it every day. Oh, we do? Well, I didn't get the memo. But she stands up for black people's rights. Okay, what rights do we need stood up for? She's gonna stand against, you know, the suppression of the black vote. Okay, tell me where the black vote's being suppressed. You all ever heard of the effects of LSD? LSD. It was a drug that really came into its own back in the 1960s. And they said people who were under its power, sometimes they felt like they could fly, and sometimes people jump out of windows thinking they could fly and whatever. You know, I really do think these people are on drugs. I really do. Some type of drug. Because they keep saying, the suppression of the black vote. Tell me where the suppression of the black vote is going on. It's more a specter, a hallucination. That's basically what it is, a political hallucination. Let me say that right, a political hallucination. That's all it is. Everywhere, white America is trying to suppress the black vote. Where are they trying to suppress it? They talked that garbage about the that new law in Georgia a few years ago. Oh, they're just trying to suppress the black vote. And on the next election, more black folk came out to vote than ever in the history of the state of Georgia. So where's the suppression of the black vote? Someone please tell me. Let me go on. Fighting for black rights. Now. Her president. Oh, gosh. Okay, here's a big one of them all. Kamala Harris. She's so close to the presidency, you know, right now that people could almost taste it. Matter of fact, This is the reason why a lot of you black people out there voted for Joe Biden, because you got Kamala Harris. Because you saw Kamala Harris, she was Joe Biden's running mate. And y'all were like, oh, we're going to vote for her because that will put her real close to the White House. And if Joe Biden goes off the scene, you know, because Joe Biden, his cognitive abilities aren't the best right now. And if he goes off the scene, guess who will take his place? Good old Kamala. And they think she's going to fight for black rights and everything. Remember when she was, Attorney General, I think it was? You know, I get some of these positions mixed up. Attorney General in California. She was responsible for more black men being put in prison than anyone else. Matter of fact, one guy was on trial. He was being sentenced for his life. And someone asked Kamala to look into it because they were like, this guy is innocent. He's innocent. She wouldn't look into it. And turned out the man was innocent. This was a black guy. So don't tell me these people are fighting for the rights of black people. All that is smoke and mirrors. I guess the voters are sniffing LSD too. It says Kamala Harris has already tried to work in the Oval Office, but failed during her 2020 presidential campaign. And to that, I say a hearty hallelujah. Now she's a vice president, which makes her an obvious choice as the next possible president. How does that make her an obvious choice? Oh, she's a vice president. So that means, oh, she should be qualified to be president. We've had other vice presidents. Did you think they were qualified to be president? Dan Quayle, George Bush, Dick Cheney. Did y'all think they were qualified to be president? I don't think y'all did. Let me go on. Oh my goodness! I thought Kamala Harris was the top of the mountain. No. Michelle Obama, the goddess, the queen of all the black people, Michelle Obama. She could be a great president because we all love us some Michelle Obama. And they even start this off saying, who doesn't love Michelle Obama? Well, I'm not one of her fans. I'm going to be honest with you. Although she's never expressed political dreams, she'd be one of the most popular candidates to ever run. Yeah, she would be. But it doesn't mean she's qualified. Doesn't mean she's qualified. She was the wife of the great god Barack Obama. And of course in our woke culture that's sweeping the country today, we have to uplift black women because they're strong. They're the queens. They're dignified. Yeah, they're unqualified too. But one thing I'm noticing about this list, when they list these people's qualifications, it's like, okay, they'll stand up for black rights. Oh, they'll stand up for abortion rights. Oh, she's well-liked. That's why she'll, you know. But they don't show us, they don't say anything about what actually qualifies them to be president. It's more charisma. And just in case you are wondering, all the ladies that I've listed, and notice they're all ladies so far. So far, they're all black ladies. Y'all notice that they're all liberal? Y'all notice that? Let me go on. Oh, so now we got the first man, Wes Moore. I'm not too familiar with Wes Moore. My wife might be more familiar with him than I am, because my wife, she's really into, you know, she can name these people at a pop. Wes Moore made history earlier this year by becoming the first black governor of Maryland. That's his qualification, because he was the first black mayor of Maryland, first black governor of Maryland. What? And by the mere fact that you're talking about a black man being governor of Maryland, that's already putting up red flags with me. Because Maryland is one of the most liberal states in the United States right now. They say Wes Moore has made history earlier this year by becoming the first black governor of Maryland. Why not make history by becoming the next president of the United States? See, that's the reason why they say they qualify, because he can make history. I thought Barack Obama made history by being the first black president of the United States. How is Wes Moore going to make history? Barack Obama already took that spot from him. And see, these qualifications, it's because liberal black America is in love with these people. Not because they are actually qualified, but because they are in love with these people. Oh, we want to see this person here. Why? What were their qualifications? Oh, I just like him. Okay, well, can you give me more qualifications? Let me go on. Oh, my goodness. Oh, folks, it gets even worse. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Really, y'all? Y'all got to be kidding me. You all have absolutely got to be kidding me. Okay, we got the second black man on here, and his name goes by Raphael Warnock. Senator Raphael Warnock's victory against Republican and all-around idiot Herschel Walker. Now, you see how they lead off with this? Herschel Walker was an idiot. Now, given he may not have been the best qualified, I'll say this, he was more qualified than Raphael Warnock. But, you know, you see how they talk about black people who don't think like they do? Oh, he's an idiot. And everywhere you go, I don't even think these people even seen the debate between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker didn't sound like an idiot to me. Senator Raphael Warnock's victory against Republican and all-around idiot Herschel Walker was a huge win for Democrats. He may be eyeing an even larger victory during future presidential elections. Now, I'm going to tell you who the idiot will be is anyone who votes for this rascal. That will be the idiot. Now, this guy is supposed to be a preacher. Now, if you are a preacher, you're a pastor of a church or whatever, you shouldn't be getting involved in politics, number one. And number two, if you do, you know, support something politically or whatever, you shouldn't be supporting things that go against the word of God, such as abortion and homosexual marriage. But Raphael Warnock is probably one of them guys who can go up in the pulpit, preach up a good sermon, get people swaying and singing hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, and everything, and people think he's qualified. Nah, he's qualified because he beat Herschel Walker. That's the only reason why he's qualified. Let me go on. Oh, boy, this list is, man, Raphael Warnock. Wow. Okay, now, this is somebody I've never seen before. Oh, but it's somebody I have heard of, though. Keisha Lance Bottoms. I've heard of her. I never could quite place a name to a face. She kind of looks like a man who's trying to be a woman. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to insult the woman. I'm not trying to insult her or anything, but she does. Former Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is currently on Biden's administration. Whoopie-doo. Serving as the director of the Office of Public Engagement. Before she accepted that role, she was under consideration as Biden's VP pick. We can only hope she's looking for a larger role down the line. Okay, so what qualifies her? What qualifies her? Please, somebody tell me, what qualifies this woman to be the U.S. of A? Let me go on with this list. I mean, and those of you all who are listening to this show, you know, once again, I'm reading an article from The Root called 15 People We Could See as the Next Black President. You know, look that article up, you know, make copies of it, share it with your friends, enjoy a good laugh. I mean, really. Let's go next. Okay. Once again, you know, some of these people I don't even know, and I probably should know them, but this guy's name is Austin Davis. And they say Austin Davis is currently Pennsylvania's second highest elected official. He's young, driven, and full of energy, as most of us were when we were in our 20s and our 30s. His current role as the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, oh, he's second in command, could prepare him for a future run as president. Although these old tweets could haunt him. Old tweets. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. He got old tweets? Oh, wait a minute. He's got a little dirt. He's got some skeletons in his closet. Old stank sexist tweets haunt Austin Davis, candidate for Pennsylvania's first black lieutenant governor. Davis has apologized for the tweets, which were dug up by shady Republican ops. Oh, so it's shady when they do it. But when y'all do it, when y'all dig up stuff on Republicans, it ain't shady. It's not shady. And see, here's the thing, too. When their favorite stars get caught up in some stuff and some stuff comes up, you know, they'll sit there and say, well, he apologized and it's the past. Let's keep going forward. But y'all don't do that with Republicans or conservatives, do you? No, you don't. Yeah, and you know you don't. Yeah, that might come to haunt them. I don't know. But as forgiving as Black America is for their liberal mainstream black heroes, I don't know. They might forget all about that. But I never heard of this guy. I never did. Oh, you never heard of him? Don't sue me. Okay, let me go on. Oh, here's somebody else here. Hakeem Jeffries. Oh, wow. Oh, boy. I tell you, y'all, liberal black America is, you know, they're living a pipe dream here. Hakeem Jeffries, the first black House Democratic leader. Hakeem Jeffries is qualified to run for president. But does he have the name recognition to win the top prize? Maybe not, but man, does he have the drive and charisma? Yeah, that's all it is. Drive and charisma. That'll qualify you. I can have drive and charisma to be the running back of the Miami Dolphins right now. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I go out there and try to play with him, I'm going to get hurt. Why'd you let him on the team? Oh, he got drive and he got charisma. See? Let me go on. Hakeem Jeffries, wow, okay. Oh, let's see, who is this character? Deval Patrick, another person I never heard of this guy. Deval Patrick, once the governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick may elect to get back into politics during the 2024 presidential race. Never heard of the dude. But, you know, he's probably one of them liberal black folks that everybody fawns over. Let me go on. Oh, who is this lady? Barbara Lee. No, name doesn't strike a name. It doesn't strike a bell with me or anything. Barbara Lee is a career politician. Oh, there you go, right there. That's the buzzword, career politician. Barbara Lee is a career politician who recently announced her plans to launch her campaign for the California Senate. Does she have higher political aspirations? I don't know. You tell me. Y'all seem to know, you know, these people have the drive and the charisma. You tell me. Let us go. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Oprah Winfrey. Oh, my goodness. Obviously, this has less to do with politics and more to do with her astronomical popularity. Exactly. Just like with probably the rest of them. Everyone loves Oprah Winfrey. Like I said, I am not a fan. So don't even put me in that category. If anything, Donald Trump proved that billionaires can win the presidency without any political experience. Yeah, but yeah, and y'all say he should have been president because of that. But oh, Oprah Winfrey, she's a billionaire. We'd love to have Oprah. But here's the difference. Oh, now they want to take a little pot shot at Donald Trump. Check this out. Obviously, this has less to do with politics and more to do with her astronomical popularity. Everyone loves Oprah Winfrey. If anything, Donald Trump proved that billionaires can win the presidency any political experience. But here's the difference. Oprah is smart and emphatic, and Oprah is smart and empathetic and beloved. Taking a little pot shots at Donald Trump. Yeah, she'll be a great president. Because unlike Donald Trump, she's smart and empathetic and beloved. We love you, Oprah. Let's go on. Let me continue on. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This guy probably wouldn't get my vote, but I think he is the most qualified out of everybody on this list. Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. Out of everybody on this list, if I had a choice to vote for anyone on this list, it'd probably be Dwayne "Rock" Johnson. And that's not saying he's going to be a good president. I'm just saying he'll probably be a better president than everybody else on this list. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Dwayne Johnson becomes, you know, if he puts his hat in the ring, I'm going to vote for him. But he's probably more qualified than everybody else on this list. It says Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson already shot down any rumors that he'll be running for president in 2024, but it was seriously talked about for a while, and it's a premise for his sitcom, Young Rock. I didn't know he had a sitcom. Now, there were rumors spreading, going around. I don't know if they're rumors or if they're true or whatever, that The Rock is a Republican. Now, just because a person says they're Republican or whatever, it doesn't fire me up, you know. Oh, he's a Republican? Yeah, I'm a vote for him. Now, because we've got a good examples of Republicans who did a messed up job when they got in office. Good example, Arnold Schwarzenegger. But anyway, I digress. Let me go on. But I think Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, out of everybody on this list, he's probably the most qualified. And who is this rascal? Robert F. Smith. Oh, this is that guy that paid everybody's tuition at the graduation. I forgot the name of the college he was at. Was it Morehouse? But this is the guy who paid everybody, you know, that probably makes him qualified because he paid for everybody's tuition. You know, he says one of the richest black people in the world. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a second here. Wait. I thought black people were all poor. Because whenever somebody mentions something that, you know, people say goes against the poor, they're always talking about, oh, this is against black people. But I thought all black people were poor. It says here, one of the richest black people in the world, similar to Oprah. Smith could also make a serious bid for president because of his huge influence and presence. That doesn't make you qualified, people. That does not make you qualified. And every last one of the people on this list, The Rock included, a lot of people say, oh, they'll make a good president because they're charisma and they're popular. And that doesn't make you qualified to be president. And see, this is one of the problems I have with people at The Root. Because they're so caught up in people's charisma. They're so caught up in black people's liberality. How liberal are you? That's all they're caught up in. But they bypass. Now you all see when Joe Biden was up for election, everybody's like, yeah, Joe Biden, yeah, he's going to take us to the promised land. Now you got a lot of people saying, man, I don't like Trump, but you know what? If Trump were to run for election again, I'm going to vote for him. Who is that? Charlemagne the God? on that, what is that, the Breakfast Club? That radio show, the most popular black radio show in the country. One of his co-hosts said, you know what, I'm voting for Joe Biden because you get Kamala Harris along with the Patrick, with the package, excuse me. But now he's singing a different tune. He's like, oh, a lot of black people were put in jail. A lot of black people were put in jail because of that crime bill that Joe Biden wrote up back in the 1990s. I said, yeah, that was several years before you said, before you threw all your bets for Joe Biden. That was about 20 years. And now, oh, my goodness. Look at what Joe Biden did. Yeah, this was, you were probably a toddler then. I don't know how old Charlemagne the God is or whatever. I think I'm older than he is. But now you're realizing this 20 years later? Shoot, I knew about that long time ago. But now you, oh, well, Joe Biden, he's not doing what I thought he would do. Well, I wonder why. People were talking, were telling you that, as they told a whole bunch of other people, what Joe Biden was about. But you went ahead and threw your support behind him, and now you're suffering as a result. And now you're like, oh, wow, I did. Well, people told you about it. But you were so concerned about that. Oh, these mean Republicans, they don't like black people. You were so caught up in your own feelings that common sense just bypassed you, just slipped by you. You didn't even know it was even in the room. Just flew over your head. And a lot of you all out there who voted for, you know, Joe Biden, hey, don't sit here crying now. People told you. Don't act like you were surprised. People told you. But you were mad at Fox News and Newsmax and all these others. You're so disillusioned because you wanted to follow your feelings instead of the facts. But there it is, people. The 15 people at the root could see as the next black president. And I think that list is very comical. What in the world is wrong with my chat page? What is up with my chat? Let me see this. Let me do this. I can't get my chat page up. Yeah, chat page ain't coming up. I don't know why, but that's okay. That's okay. At least I do have a show going on, unlike I did last week. Let me go and pull up something else from my Gab page again. Once again, if you all want to check out my Gab page, it's Gab at Southeast Vents. And I use it for, I like to list a lot of the news stories that I come across, and I'll put it on my Gab page, and I'll feed off of there. Okay, let's see. Oh, this is one I really wanted to get to today. This is one I really wanted to get to. And I came across this yesterday, this article. Let me pull this one up. And this article is at Yahoo News. Now, folks, I know folks are going to look at me and say, what are you doing? Look at that Yahoo News. You know, their news is terrible. Yeah, it is. They probably some of the worst news you'll ever read. And they seem more inclined to report on what kind of bikini the Kardashians are wearing than they are about actual news. But every now and then something catches your eye and you're like, you got to be kidding me, you know. And this story, it says a Chick-fil-A in North Carolina is accused of writing a racial slur on an order slip. The chain called it a misspelling of the customer's name. Now let's get into this one. Of course, before I get into it, you all know that anything that any of the slightest discrepancy that happened with Chick-fil-A, people are going to jump on it because, you know, this is the chain that hates homosexuals. And I never heard anyone who worked there say they hate homosexuals. But because of the stigma that was put on them about 10, 11 years ago, you know, people are apt to believe anything negative that is said about Chick-fil-A. So, but anyway, a Chick-fil-A customer in North Carolina said her daughter's order slip contained a racial slur. Chick-fil-A said the incident resulted from a misspelling on the drive-thru order receipt. A Facebook post regarding the incident has gone viral with more than 660 comments. A Charlotte, North Carolina mother's Facebook post went viral this month after she shared a photo of her daughter's Chick-fil-A order with a racial slur on the order slip. April Jackson told WSOC-TV that her daughter gave her name, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Nyashia, I don't know how to pronounce that, when placing her drive-thru order. The meal, she said, was returned with a racial slur on the order slip attached to the cup and the takeout bag. The slur was an incorrect spelling of the N-word. Oh, boy, I tell you. This is really bothering me. This is really bothering me. My daughter just left from Chick-fil-A off Brookshire, and this is what the employee put for her name, and it's Black History Month. Oh, my gosh. How can this happen during Black History Month? Oh, the humanity. Save the children. Jackson wrote on February 13th on her Facebook page, as of Tuesday afternoon, the post had nearly 1,000 shares and 661 comments. The response to Jackson's post was met with mixed opinions. Some supported Jackson, of course, you know, the liberal members, you know, the liberal mainstream Black America. Some supported Jackson and her daughter and accused Chick-fil-A of supporting a culture of bigotry. Really? A culture of bigotry. Okay. All right, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. Shows what type of culture Chick-fil-A, they're shaking my head. Can't say I'm surprised knowing how they treat LGBTQ, one person wrote. How do they treat the LGBTQ? How do they treat them? How many stories have you heard of the LGBTQ people coming in there and getting them a chicken sandwich? How many stories have you heard about them being treated unfairly? All because their president said that he believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. Over the years, Chick-fil-A has faced backlash for its history of donating to anti-LGBTQ organizations. The company has since stopped making these types of donations. Still, other comments on Jackson's Facebook page suggested the slur resulted from user error or a hoax. Probably was a hoax. Hoax. The stickers are for pickup orders placed through apps. The customer enters the name, nice try at getting attention and free food, one person said. A Chick-fil-A representative said they believe the incident resulted from a misspelling. The operator owner of Chick-fil-A Mountain Island has thoroughly investigated, and tried to connect with the customer to better understand her experience and apologize for the situation, the company said in a statement. Though we understand this to be a misspelling of the customer's name, that does not negate the impact or experience had by our guests. The operator has started additional training at his restaurant to ensure this doesn't happen again. We sincerely apologize for the harm caused by this incident. The Chick-fil-A representative said all customers are expected to be treated with honor, dignity, and respect at his owner-operated restaurants. But you see, you know, and it's a more to the article, but you see the culture we have today, anything can be racist. Now, I saw the picture of the racist slur on this lady's cup of lemonade or whatever she was drinking, and it was spelled N-I-G-E-R. Niger. Now, as sensitive a culture as we are today, of course, that's going to set some of the, you know, liberal mainstream black Americans off their keister. She put a racist slur. Oh my gosh. And the thing about it was on that sticker that was on her cup, the name of the person who took the order, the name of that person is on the sticker too. So it makes me wonder why in the world would somebody say, this person's a N-word, so I'm gonna put that on her cup. And not only that, they said this person's going through training now to make sure this doesn't happen again. You see how sensitive we become in this country. Now, I've seen the word N-I-G-E-R before. Niger. Where have you seen that before? Just anyone who knows their geography knows Niger is the name of a country in Africa. And just south of Niger is another country called Nigeria. So maybe we should change the names of those countries because it might offend black people. Doesn't offend the Africans who live in those countries. And I don't think Niger means a bunch of little N-words running around in this country. Let me go on with this article. The Chick-fil-A representative said all customers are expected to be treated with honor, dignity, and respect at its owner-operated restaurants. Well, let me tell you something, too. The people who work there, they need to be treated with honor, dignity, and respect as well, because that door swings both ways. Just because you're a customer doesn't mean that you had to go off on somebody in a restaurant because they're supposed to serve you, okay? Now, see, this type of stuff ticks me off because one of the stupidest statements I think I've ever heard in my life is the customer is always right. No, the customer is not always right. You got a nasty customer, they can falsely accuse you of something, and then the managers of that business will jump on their employees without saying, okay, let me take this to the side. Hey, you know, hey, that person came through your drive-thru, she was a bonehead, okay? Just calm down. I got your back. They're not going to do that. They're going to throw you under the bus because they care more about their business and the bottom line than they do about their employees. And it ticks me off. It really does. That's one of my pet peeves. The customer is always right. So this lady, because her name was Gloria, this lady, Gloria could be a man today. But they're taking this employee through extra training so this incident won't happen again. Because you're so sensitive, because they spelled it with one G, but they meant to spell it with two Gs. Okay, yeah. This isn't the first time a worker at Chick-fil-A, a chain known for its strict customer service rules, has been accused of insulting a guest. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, people are fallible. You know, in 2019, an Arizona customer's clothing was mocked by a worker who identified him as Ugly Sweater on his order slip. Last year, Chick-fil-A worker's TikTok post went viral after he criticized a customer's one-star review. He has a right to do that. Workers at other fast food chains such as Starbucks and Taco Bell have also been accused of insulting guests on receipts or cups. In December, a black woman said a barista at a Maryland Starbucks wrote monkey on her cup. At the time, a representative for the licensed Starbucks location called the incident a mistake. In 2018, Taco Bell reportedly fired a cashier who was accused of writing a racial slur on a customer's receipt in Pennsylvania. Accused or confirmed? See, there is a difference. And I've taken up a lot of time talking about these two articles. I'm going to get to this third one because this was the one I wanted to talk about. Last week, this one, and it was another one I wanted to get to as well, but I might do that one next week. But this one that I meant to talk about last week because, you know, I had some technical difficulties. I wasn't able to get to it. I wanted to talk about this one too. So those of you all who are on the phones, let me see here. I got one person on the phone. Just hang with me, you know. And I don't know why my chat page isn't up or whatever. You all might be doing it. You all might be writing a chat and I'm not responding. For some reason, it's not coming up on my computer. I don't know why, but anyway. And before I go to the advertisements, I'm going to just, you know, hit you with a teaser of this next article I wanted to talk about. And this is from February 14th of this year. And this comes from a site called The College Fix. Black students call white people maggots and vermin in multi-university group chat. Black students circulated list of slurs against white people. And one of the arguments you'll hear about black folks today is that black folks can't be racist because black folks don't have the power to be racist. But they can sit here and call you all kinds of ugly names if you're a white person, and they can get away with it. Oh, that's not racist. It's just prejudice and bias. Prejudice and bias are bad, are good things. You want to talk about your prejudice against someone's skin color because they're white, and you think that's a good thing? That's not as bad as someone calling you the N-word? What kind of stupidity is infesting our world today? I mean, for real, what kind of stupidity? But these, I'm a dig some more into this article and I'm gonna get to the phones as well, you know. So, but anyway, let me get ready to do my advertisements. Get these all pulled up and everything, and. Wait a minute, there's one I wanted to pull up. But anyway, let me go ahead and do my advertisements and everything, and when I come back, we'll continue on with the show. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins, because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at. Podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service. Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
All right. Welcome back to the show. It's the top of the hour. And before I get into the next hour of the program, just want to say if you want to be a guest to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And just want to shout out to my blog. I'm starting to put a little bit more emphasis on my blog called blackbycoloronly.com. And I will invite you to go out there to look it up and check it out. I've neglected it the entire year of 2022. And I said, you know what? I set this blog up and I said, I'm not going to let it sit here and collect dust. I got, you know, and see, the thing about it is that I'm the only person who runs that blog. You know, I don't have any backups. I don't have any writers or anything. I'm the only one who runs that blog, you know, and, you know, when things get busy and whatever, sometimes your mind is just not into putting content on there and whatever. It's not an excuse. I'm not saying that it's a good excuse or anything, but I didn't put that blog up there just so that it could collect dust. And I don't want people coming there saying, man, he got the same stuff up here he had 6 months ago, you know, and I'm starting to, you know, put some more content on there, and just want you all to go there, check it out, show it to your friends, whatever, you know, and when you check it out, just leave me a comment, you know, leave me a little critique. You know, it doesn't have to be disrespectful. You just say, hey, Vincent, you know, I think you can, you know, polish it up in this area or whatever and stuff like that, you know. And I do it in my own style. I try to proofread it to be sure that all my grammar is correct and everything. Because sometimes I go to people's blogs and they put these sentences together and you're like, what the heck are they talking about? You know, and, you know, I try to be kind of thorough on that blog, and just want to invite you all, go out there, check it out. You know, if you know some friends, you know, who might want to check it out, you know, invite them to check it out. And like I said, when you do, if you go there, you visit there and everything, leave a comment or something, you know, whether it's a criticism or if it's a compliment, it doesn't matter, you know, just show some respect when you do that. But anyway, blackbycoloronly.com. But anyway, let me go on, and I said, okay, I got two callers now, got two people with their hands raised. Let me go into this article before I go to the phones. I got to pull something up right quick here. Y'all just bear with me. I'm going to get with you all. I am going to get with you all. Just bear with me. Hope everybody's doing well today, you know. And those of you all know prayer. I got a friend named Iredale. He lives in Florida. He said he was going to check himself into the hospital this weekend. And he said he's been dehydrated. He said he can't, you know. He doesn't feel like drinking water. And, you know, people said, well, won't you use some of the flavor packets? He said he doesn't like the flavor packets. And I'm like, dude, you need to get some water in you, man, you know, because every day, you know, I remember one time I went to the hospital and someone asked me, they said, Vincent, well, how's your urine looking? And I said, it looks almost like water because I'm always hydrated every day. You know, in the mornings I start off, you know, hydrating during the day, hydrating at nighttime, you know, and, but anyway, that for those of you all who've been wondering why you don't hear from him that much, that's what he's going through, some kind of illness. I don't know what it is, but, you know, just keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. But anyway, let me go to this article I started on before the break, and it's from the College Fix, and it says, Black students call white people maggots and vermin in multi-university group chat. And it says here, Black students circulated list of slurs against white people. A document reportedly linked to Black students at numerous universities refers to white people as maggots, vermin, and roaches. And they got a little meme on the side here that says they call them milk monkeys and vanilla villagers. Now, so my thing is this, is why is it that black folks get their panties in a bind when a white person calls them a name, but they can do it all along? Oh, it's not racist. It's really not racist. It is racist. And some of these names are worse than the names I've heard people refer to black people as. I'm like, milk monkeys, vanilla villagers, and go and call them roaches. Do you know what a roach is? That's a nasty animal. Vermin, same thing. Maggots, same thing. But, oh, that's not racist. Altogether, the document contains hundreds of derogatory names for white people, with some listed as a favorite. Wow. One of the listed favorites was decomposing form of humanity. Other names referred to white people as pigs and rats. Auburn University student Jayden Hurd, who is not in the campus Black Student Union, provided the document to Turning Point USA on behalf of a member of the group. Turning Point USA first reported the story on February 3rd, but Auburn University told a College Fix on Monday that it has been investigating the situation since January 17th. I don't think they were investigating. They don't care. If a white person did it, oh my goodness. They'll be on top of that like white on rice, pun not intended. Administrators have since learned that the GroupMe chat in question is titled AU Connect, brought to you by The Throwdown, and includes hundreds of people from multiple universities. Spokesperson Jennifer Adams told The Fix on Monday, these comments did not occur on the Black Student Union GroupMe, nor as part of any recognized Auburn University organization channel. Listed slurs include yeast maggots, mutated vermin, and snow roaches. According to the list obtained by 1819 News from Hurd, he provided 1819 News with further screenshots from the chat. The Fix had emailed Auburn BSU, Black Student Union, had emailed Auburn Black Student Union advisors Kelby Lamar and Gretel Sutton for comment on Monday, but Adams responded instead. The Fix asked for information on the validity of the list and if either planned to discuss the issue with the leadership of the Black Student Group. Lamar is the Assistant Director of Student Governance and Organizations, while Sutton is the coordinator of student governance. Now, listen to some of these names they call white people that they use to refer to white people: Walking Ranch, Shaved Monkeys, Default Color, Pale Faced, Drywall, Plaster People, Walking Napkins, Mutated Vermin, Translucent People, Shaved Rats, Mole Rats, Albino Pigs, Albino Monkey, Albino Rats, Disease Albino Monster. And some of these names mean not meant to exist. White people, and these are the statements they make against white people. Not meant to exist. White people was just God experimenting. Rally of unshaved beasts. Decomposing form of humanity. That's a favorite. Manifest destiny. Delusional lice. That's listed as a favorite. Bobblehead white. That's listed as a favorite. Ashy, but you can't see it. That's a favorite. Don't know how to bathe properly. Stinky, smelly white roaches. Cracker monster. Ghost walker. Monstrous like beings, walking snowflakes, ice walkers, colonizing vultures, white meat, years worth of dirt caked up that you can't see, untamed beast, that's a favorite, blank paper, invasive species, weeds, air, thin lip monkeys, saggy white beasts, don't bathe with a rag. These are all terms that refer to white people. And I think they got more terms, derogatory terms for white folks than I ever heard for black folks, gonna think of it. Now, my thing is this, we shouldn't be calling people derogatory names anyway. But here's the thing with me, like, especially with the shaved monkeys and what was that other one? But it had monkey in the name. Now, if you called a black person a monkey, you would either face some serious injury or even worse if you called a black person a monkey. But, oh, they feel like they can do it too. They feel like they can do it without any repercussions. We can sit here and call white people all these derogatory names, and it's okay, but they call you a name or just happen to mention a name. They're not even directing at anybody. You know, they might say something like, I heard a black person call another black person the N-word the other day. You said N-word. Oh, my gosh, the humanity. Oh, save the children. And he wasn't even directed at anybody. Or he may have been repeating what somebody had told him, and it just happened to have the N-word, and we go off the rails. But, oh, it's already called him disease albino monster. Stinky, smelly white roaches. Oh, that's all right. You know. No. If it's not all right for them to call you a monkey, once again, that door respect swings both ways. If it's not all right for them to call you the N-word, then you shouldn't be calling them derogatory names either. The article goes on, an investigation is underway in the university's Office of Affirmative Action and Equal Employment, which adjudicates reports of harassment and discrimination, Adams said in her email to The Fix. The university takes these matters very seriously. Apparently not. You've been investigating since January the 17th. And the alleged behavior does not represent the values of Auburn University. Yeah, but if Auburn is like any of the other universities, Auburn is woke. So this is not going to be taken as seriously as if a slur had been made against a black person. The university prohibits harassment of its students and employees as outlined in our policy against discrimination and harassment. The Fix also asks what the connection is between the students in the group chat and if they were part of other campus black student unions or other racial advocacy organizations. Adams did not respond to those questions. Office of Affirmative Action and Equal Employment will look into connections, if any, as part of their investigation, she sent in a second email soon after. We do not have any further statement at this time as the investigation is ongoing. She did not answer a follow-up question on which other universities have students in the group chat. A representative for Turning Point USA said Auburn needs to address the racism in the group chat. And yes, when you make fun of white people because of color of their skin, you are a racist. There's no way around it. Racism is a two-way street, Anthony Watson, a contributor for Turning Point USA, said in a media statement. Unfortunately, universities have enacted policies that embolden black students to act as though they are immune to the repercussions of discrimination. If the university is actually against racism, they should treat this situation the same way they would if the races were reversed. And I say a hearty amen to that. And those of you, I should have put this link in the description, show's description, but it's the College Fix, black students calling white people maggots and vermin in multi-university group chat. And a lot of people in liberal, mainstream black America, they'll look at this and say, oh, that's nothing. Oh, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. It's something. Because if someone called you, let's say someone called you a maggot or a vermin or roaches or a chocolate monkey or a chocolate villager. You think you're going to sit there and be like, ah, that ain't nothing. Nah, y'all going to riot. You're going to burn down businesses. You're going to attack every white person that you see, whether they're guilty or not? You know you would. So why is it okay for you or for other black people to make fun of white people in this manner, but it's not okay for them to do the reverse to you? Now, like I said, we shouldn't be using derogatory names to refer to anybody. I don't care if you're black, white, or whoever. You shouldn't be disrespectful to another person. But if this person, if you won't take disrespect from this person, then you shouldn't take it when that person is disrespected too. The scripture in the Bible, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also the same to them. And a lot of you black people out there call yourselves Christians, but y'all don't go by what they call the golden rule. Because you think white people deserve this. They're colonizers, and they came in and disrupted our ways of life, and then they came over to this country and disrupted the Native Americans' way of life. So they don't deserve respect. And I tell you that you are a fool, because where be we black, Native American, white, brown, whatever, we are all made in the image of God. But anyway, now my wife, I'm gonna have to do something with my wife in the background here, because my wife always like yelling at the TV and stuff like that. No, she is not brain damaged or anything like that. It's just some things that go on. She just can't stand it, you know. But anyway, I think it is time to release. I think it's time to release the fruit bats. Hey, where's my siren? What happened to my siren? Folks, that's the fruit bat alert, and I see I only got two. I had two callers, but now it's only one. I tell people when they come in here, you know, just be patient. You know, I'm gonna get to you. I gotta get out to say what I have to say. You know, but that's the fruit bat alarm. And if you think you can come on this show and engage in activities such as excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, trolling, things of that sort, any type of really disrespect, you know, you best hang up now, because I will be happy to oblige you. Don't come on here trying to take over my show and everything and stuff like that. But having said all that, let me go to the phones. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Vincent?
What's up, man? What's up, man?
I tell you what, you are a breath of fresh air, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I hope Iredale is okay, too.
Yeah, he's going through something right now, going through some dehydration. He said he was going to check himself into the hospital.
He needs to go get baptized.
What's that?
He needs to go get baptized, let the preacher dunk him out of the water, right?
Yeah.
Let me get some water.
I would tell him that. He might get a good laugh out of that.
Yeah, how you like the Missouri AG is gonna kick Kevin Gardner's ass out of the St. Louis prosecutor spot.
Oh,
you know, she's the one that went after the McCloskeys, who was protecting their house when Black Lives Matter protesters busted down the gate and marched on their private street. And they stood in front of their house with weapons. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
You got these people busting down gates like a bunch of savages, destructing property. Why come you didn't enter the street like everybody else do and come by the guardhouse where the guard could notify who it is that you want to go see? No, you just want to disregard the law, disregard the rules, and do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
If I had a house, I would have done the same thing. I would have guarded.
Yeah, I probably would have been out there too. I probably would let them know. Y'all try something. Try something. The McCloskey, they probably could have used a little, you know, maybe a little gun training, but that's beside the point. That's beside the point. All people saw was these white people out here standing with guns, and they wanted to shoot some black people. That's all they saw. You know, that's all they wanted to see. You know, so.
Well, it wasn't the McCloskey's fault. The people that broke down, they needed the training.
Yeah,
I get tired of this stuff. They all want to throw the blame on the people who's in the right. The police need to do that. No, it's the people that the police encounter that needs to change their ways and stop acting barbarous.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the police. Yeah, you may have, just like you do in any other atmosphere, have some bad apples. But the majority of the cases of the time, as is proven by videos all over YouTube, it's the people they encounter.
Yep. And
they
have
disrespect for authorities.
I think they had another, I reported on another incident that was kind of similar to that that happened in California, and this person ended up losing their life. They broke into a gated community. First of all, I don't understand why people ignore that fact. You broke into a gated community. You didn't stop and say, "Hey, we want to protest in here, and you know, we want to tell these people, you know, we don't like what they." Nah, they break down the gates and everything, and then when something happens as a result, they want to cry racism. I don't understand that. And people, do you all see the gate that's been broken down? That's how they got into that community. You know, I mean, how come you can't protest outside the gated community? Why you got to go into the gated community? You know, I don't understand the thinking of a lot of people.
They was going by the white mayor, Lyda Cruz, and going by her house, and they was on the wrong damn street. But you know, when you look at the data on education, these kids can't read.
Yep.
What's the data saying? The data says that they can't read. We got schools in the St. Louis area where you got less than 1% of the kids know how to do math. Less than 5% can read. 14% can read. And then you got Al Sharpton and them down in Florida marching in front of the Tallahassee State Capitol talking about DeSantis is trying to remove black history out of the classrooms.
Yeah,
that's a lie. But all in all, the kids can't read any damn way. So how are you going to teach them this stuff?
Braille? Really, you know, exactly. For serious. I mean, you sitting there worried about them, you know, teaching black history, but the kids can't even read it. So they still can't learn it. I mean.
That's right. They can't learn nothing. And nobody says nothing about that, see?
No.
These kids, these black kids can't read. Too many of them can't. And when they can read, now get this. When you look up the stats on black kids that can read, you know, in the 50 percentile, they are going to schools where they make up about 30% of the population. The rest is white. 70% is white. Now, that school ain't going to have no CRT. You follow me? That school is majority white. It's not going to have no CRT. Only place you're going to put CRT is in a majority black school district where the kids can't read any damn way.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault.
Exactly.
It's the parents, family, and society.
Yeah. Can you imagine them teaching CRT in like Baltimore or something like that?
Oh, hell, they'd be using the pages for paper planes.
I mean, really. Exactly, because a lot of them rascals can't read, and it's the same song and story in every state you go into. When you see a community of mostly black folks. It's a high rate of illiteracy in these communities. And it's not saying that black people don't know how to read or whatever. They can read, but nobody is teaching it to them. Their parents are not teaching it to them. The teachers just let them coast through the classes and whatever. And it's not being taught to them. And people, I've had a discussion with people. They say, well, in the white schools got all the, they got all the opportunities. They got the best equipment and everything. And I'm like, well, whether they have the best equipment or anything or whatever, it's still not an excuse for why our kids don't know that 2 + 2 = 4. That's it has nothing to do with it, you know. And I got a friend lives in Greensboro. He works for the Greensboro schools. He's like, man, yeah, they write because the white schools they're better equipped than the black schools are. And I'm like, that's no excuse though. It's no excuse. It really
is. It's not only is it not an excuse, but it's not true.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. It's not true. You might see something there, you know, the school might be a little bit dirtier or something like that, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the same opportunities that white kids do. And once again, we tend to blame this on the teachers instead of blaming, well, you know, the teachers do bear some of the blame, to be honest with you. But we overlook the parents. We enable these parents to be bad parents. You know, we don't sit down and discuss with the parents and say, hey, what are you doing at home? You know, Johnny, you know, needs to pass this test. Are you teaching him? No, don't be good. No. Little Johnny needs to be studying. Now, you need to be a parent at home. I can only do so much in this school. Now, what are you doing at home? You know, and that's a situation my wife found herself in during COVID, because a lot of kids during COVID, they would come to the daycare, which I don't understand what a 7 or 8 year old kid is doing in a daycare, but they would bring them in there and they were supposed to go online to do their studying. And the kids didn't even know their password. Their computers weren't even charged up. And I'm like, what do you all do when you go home in the evenings? All you had to do is plug your little computer up, and once again, it's the parents. It's the parents that not tell, hey, Johnny, plug your computer in. Plug your computer in, okay? Now, do you know your password? You're going to learn that password before you go to school in the morning, you know? And they want to blame the teachers for why the kids are so stupid, but it's the parents. The parents are not, they're not making an atmosphere that's conducive to the children at home. You know, I don't want my kids to learn that white music and reading them white books and everything. Okay, well, then let your kid be stupid then. You know, I mean, I grew up on Huckleberry Finn.
You know what it is.
Tom Sawyer. Oh, go ahead.
The parents don't know their own selves because they came up to the same system where their parents didn't give a damn. It's just a continuum.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other hand, I see where Sarge, his favorite gal, made a tremendous discovery here the other day.
Really?
His favorite gal, Angela Davis, the Marxist black nationalist, Black Panther, found out that her ancestors arrived here on the Mayflower.
Oh, my goodness. I need to look that one up. Oh my goodness.
Listen to that.
Mm.
Bill Gates found out for her. Henry Louis Gates. Henry Gates found it out for her.
She's been running around.
That's what I tell you about these people. You got one that was on your show. They half white. They hate themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
It burns them like exorcist water. The fact that they have white. And they go around talking down on white folks, and actually they're talking down, teaching and sticking pins in themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And anybody knows Angela Davis knows she was a staunch Marxist, staunch member of the Black Panther Party. I think I've heard of Angela Davis since I was a kid. You know, I mean, my goodness. this lady, she was out there.
And she's
she
ugly. Really was. I wish she wasn't all that attractive. Nowhere near. And she lived.
She wasn't. Yeah, she wasn't. You know, she used to have her big old afro and doing a black power sign and all that crazy mess and everything. And Lori Lightfoot.
So it just goes to show you, just these people that's telling you this stuff. She don't get no reparations, right?
No. Yeah.
If anything, she owes Indians reparations.
I mean, really? Yeah. So, I mean, she got a little conflict there, you know, a little conflict of interest. she probably
She owe Indians reparations.
She when she heard that, she was probably like, Henry Louis, wait a minute. Look that thing up again. That can't be true.
She didn't want to hear it. She didn't want to hear it, man.
I'm pretty sure she didn't.
And you remember how they took that one white guy who wanted to have all white town? And they made fun of him because he had some black in his family tree. Well, hell, let's play this game a little bit more. And with Angela Davis, and let's go on with some of these other guys, Booker and Kareem, Hakeem Jeffries. I know his uncle, Leonard Jeffries. And it's a lot of them that talk that stuff for convenience. But when it comes down to the substance, they're just as guilty as anybody else, if not more.
Yeah. And they get up there, they start to flapping that yap, and they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even know what they're saying. You know, they're just hearing it because they're hearing it from somebody else, and they get the flapping and yapping and everything, and they want to tell everybody else, oh, you need to study history. I know history. You don't know no history. I know enough of history, you know. I know enough of it. I'm not a history buff. I'm not a history expert, but I know enough about history to know that certain things that we talk about today really ain't true. You know, but they the very ones out there talking about, oh, y'all need to learn history, and then they find out that their ancestor was on the Mayflower.
Well, I tell you what, it's some crazy stuff going on today. And with you reading that list about black women who will become president, I got scared, started to shake.
I thought it was hilarious myself. I really did. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Y'all actually think these people can be president? Kamala Harris, for real. Oprah Winfrey. Raphael Warnock. Are you serious? I mean, and when I saw that, I said, you know what? I have got to do a show on this one.
That other one.
Say again?
Stacey Abrams, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stacey Abrams, yeah. Yeah. And like I said,
that's what I say. You know, Ruth owned by whites anyway. But that's what I say. They want to elect people because of their skin color.
Yeah.
And their D in front of their name.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and that's all it's about. That's all it's about. You know, their quest for power. They want to hold on to the power and everything. That's all they care about. And you know, they tell you, oh, this person is qualified because they'll support abortion rights for women, and this person will fight for black rights. You're supposed to be fighting for everybody's rights, not just for black people. Black people are not disenfranchised in this country. We're not being oppressed. You know, I mean, if I could sit here and do a radio program from my nondescript apartment building in Durham, North Carolina, I'm not being oppressed. I'm just not, you know, and I tell people, I do this show by myself. I have no producers, no writers, nobody. It's just me, myself, and I doing this show. You know, I'm not being oppressed. And then they get up there and they get so arrogant. They act like they talking for all black people. We black people go through this every day. We go through this every day. They know good and well they don't go through it every day. They know that. They know they don't go through it every day. But they just want to sit up there and virtual signal, you know, and act like, you know, hey, I'm with you people. I'm with, and then they go home to their mansions that are not even anywhere near a black neighborhood. And don't you talk about raising no affordable housing in their neighborhoods either, because then they'll be the loudest one. No, I don't want that over here. Don't be bringing that over here. Oh, I thought you cared about the poor black people. You know, we're just trying to give them a place to stay or whatever. No, I don't want that here. You know, Stephon, what's his name? Stephon Curry, the player for the Golden State Warriors. He and his wife, they just, yeah, no, we don't want no affordable housing here. Hey, but I thought you cared about black people. No, I care about them over there. I don't care about them here. You know, keep them over there. You know.
I kind of like him. He's a model of confidence.
Yeah.
But we have to see what happens. So where's Floyd at today? I thought for sure you want to hear about his favorite gal, Angela Davis.
I had somebody in the queue. They had called it, and they even had their hand raised. And I said, you know, just bear with me and everything. I don't understand when people come in and they, you know, they come in and they say they want to, you know, say something, but then they end up leaving the show or whatever. I don't understand that, but. You know, I just try to tell people to be patient. I know I can be a chatterbox sometimes, but I just want to get out what I need to say. But, yeah, I thought Sarge would be here too. But for some reason, I can't get my chat page operating. It keeps buffering, but I can't get it up for some reason. I don't know. It might be what same thing that happened last week where I couldn't have a show or something. I don't know. But I like my chat page. Because I get to interact with some people on there and everything, so the last article that I talked about, what did you think about that, about what these names they call white people and everything? And I think I made mention of this last week, you know, because I wanted to talk about it last week, but I was able to do it in more detail today. And
need to be kicked out of school.
Yep. Vanilla Villager, Milk Monkeys. I ain't never heard some of these names. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But say that about a black person, oh my goodness. They'll probably call for you to be deported. Snow Roaches. That's my favorite one right there, Snow Roaches. Snow Roaches. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But black people can't be racist. Black people can't be racist. We could call you all the names in the book, but we can't be racist because we don't have the power to be racist. I mean, I don't know where they get that from. I don't know. Maybe you can enlighten me on that, Pianki, but I don't know where they get that from, that black people can't be racist. And I think it's just a bunch of black people that understand the negative stigma that comes with the word racist, and they don't want to identify themselves by that negative stigma, so they come up with some excuse for why black people can't be racist.
They say black people ain't got no power. How much power does it take to open your damn mouth?
I mean, really. And if you want to talk about leadership, we had a president that everyone said was black, you know, just a few years ago. We got black governors, black mayors, black principals and schools and everything and stuff like that. So how come black people don't have the power to be racist? I mean, for real. But let's see. Let me see here. Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about this, too. And I want to thank you, Pianki, for sharing this with me. I think it was you that shared this with me. The article from the Epic Times that shows the undercover D.C. police officers walking behind Ashley Babbitt.
Shoving her in.
Yeah. And now, the woke crowd, all of a sudden, they don't want to talk about the January 6th anymore because seems like somebody gave the full footage of what happened on January the 6th to Tucker Carlson. And I don't know what Tucker Carlson is going to do with that footage. People say he's going to expose it next week or something like that. I don't know, because a lot of times when you get an aha moment like this that shows the woke crowd for what they are, they tend to water it down like, it ain't no big deal, ain't that much in there. And now me,
and
I'm already convinced.
Needs to be charged with murder. He's an accessory to murder.
Exactly. And they keep saying that, you know, so many police officers died that day. It was only one woman that died that day. One woman that died. One lady was saying, oh, I was just slipping in blood. No, you weren't, you lying rascal. You weren't slipping in no blood. If you were, you were probably close to Ashley Babbitt. You were probably slipping in her blood, but you weren't slipping in no blood. And I tell people, my wife and I, we were watching C-SPAN. We were watching C-SPAN on YouTube, and we were watching that. We were watching that that debacle up at the Capitol building, and a lot of that stuff that people said went on up there, it did not go on. And they talk about, oh, it's a white supremacist type thing. I said, I saw black people up there. And two, when the doors were open, people didn't storm into the Capitol. They were goaded into the Capitol. We got this footage of this stuff. They're showing you the guards telling people, come on in, come on in, come on in. It was a setup. And they know it was a setup. They know it was. But still, no, January 6th, that was worse than Pearl Harbor. You know, that was a big, And you got people living in D.C. They believe that mess, too. You sit there and live in D.C., and you still believe that mess. And they talking about millions of dollars of damage and all that crazy mess. I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me. I said, I sat there and watched it in real time. And it was not a riot. It was not an insurrection. Yes, some people did get out of hand. Some people did enter the Capitol building, you know, uninvited. But how in the world did they get into, well, I'm not going to say uninvited because they were invited. But how in the world did they get into the Capitol building? You know, the Capitol building is one of the most important buildings in the world. And they have straight up strict security. I don't think a fly could fly into a crack in that building without a security guard knowing about it. But this day, oh, people were just coming in and they just overpowered the guards. No, the guards were standing there while the people, you know, went inside the building. And they were even encouraged by some of the guards. And to me, I think Ashley Babbitt was led into a trap so that, you know, whatever, you know, whatever happened to her happened, you know, and they wanted to make it like, oh, these police officers were scared. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. You know, but here.
Let me ask you another question.
Oh, go ahead.
What ethnicity commits the most, seemingly the most crimes in this country? And they sex.
I hate to say it, but black folks.
The black male. All right. What percentage of the population do blacks make up in the United States?
I would say 12-13%, but the black male makes up like 5-6%.
There you go. Because when you, if you were divided in half, say 20 million females, 20 million males, then you got to subtract the kids from infant to say like 10 years old. Then you got to subtract those from 50 on up. Then you got those in the middle. And a lot of them between 18 to say about 30 that's committing all these crimes. You talk about a small percentage.
Yep.
That's committing all these crimes. Then they always want to compare against white. Well, whites commit more. Yeah, well, they're more population.
Yeah.
When white females report rape, 30-some-odd% of the time her attack is a black male. Out of that 5-6% in the population.
Yep. Which means
the shooting
about,
and all the other stuff is coming out of that 5-6% of the population.
Yep, about 6% of the country commits most of the crimes, most of the violent crimes. And let's not harp on the violent crimes, because they do some of the white collar and blue collar crimes too. So, but anyway, let me get this caller on here. Someone just popped up here. Let me get this caller on here. Hopefully, okay, there we go. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Hello, I'm calling from California.
Is this a Bring Your Boy Yee?
This is Bring Your Boy's Wife.
Okay. How you doing? Long time no speak.
Yes, I know. It's good to hear your show. We've been listening for the last couple of weeks, and your conversations with Sarge and Pianchi and New Orleans. He decided to have this show now at the same time you do. If you haven't noticed, he comes on now when you do on Sunday.
Well, I noticed last week he was on the same time I was. Yeah, he's Warren. He needs prayer.
All we can do is just pray for him, you know. But you seem to have more people in your chat room and more people calling. So, you know, moving in the right direction.
Okay,
but anyway,
well,
I called because you had a topic that actually applied to me, and that's the white, you know, nicknames that some people have for us. Or vanilla monkey and whatnot. I was laughing my head off when you were listing off the names, and because I think it's just childish. You know, we learned, my generation, I'm in my 50s, and we learned sticks and stones. So, if you want, you know, as long as I know what I am, then it doesn't bother me what you think I am. Big deal. So, but there are people that get offended by names.
So you're not going to go off the rails. You're not going to go off the rails if someone calls you a snow roach.
No.
I said, you got to be kidding me. A snow roach. I saw that. I said, you have got to be kidding me. Vanilla villagers. I'm like, y'all.
I was thinking with the snow roach because if you sprinkle borax on them, and that's white, you know, and then they'll take off running, but as they're running, their shell is burning up. So, jeez.
I mean, man.
Snow roach, that's funny.
And see me, I'm not gonna go out and call people derogatory names in the first place. I don't care who you are, black, white, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do that. But these guys, they feel like that, you know, nobody should be calling them names, but they feel like they're free to do this. And even in that article that I read, they said it seems like the colleges make an atmosphere conducive for that, where black people think that they can get away with anything and just say anything, and they don't meet the same repercussions that white people do if they're caught doing the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's the way it is. They say they are investigating, but, you know, if it had been white people calling black people a bunch of names, the investigation would have been over a long time ago. You know, we're the judge and the jury and the executioners. You're white. You mess with this black person. That means you're a racist. You know, end of story.
Yep, automatic suspension.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't want you in this school anymore, you know. So, it shows a hypocrisy that goes on with a lot of these people in the woke crowd. They always want to, you know, they will always want to push their agenda, but they don't understand. They really don't understand why they are pushing their agenda. They're just going by feelings and, you know, what they hear on the news and whatever, but they really don't understand why they think the way they do.
Right, and that way of thinking is hurts of both parties, because it's not the real world in college. And so if you're constantly giving them their way and suspending other students because they feel offended by something they said, a particular T-shirt they wore that said something, or color, or whatever, that doesn't play out in the real world as far as we're suspending the student for offending you, you know. So when they try that in the real world, and then they don't get their way, what's going to happen? You know,
start rioting,
temper tantrum or something. Yeah, or and vice versa, as far as the white people, you know, getting suspended or anything else, some type of discipline while they're in college, and then in the real world, now they're going to be empowered because it's not going to play out that way. And
yeah,
it's just not a good thing altogether.
Yeah.
And they just need to do away with people being offended. Like somebody calls you a name, get over it.
yeah, exactly. I mean, they tell us sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But, you know,
yeah,
I don't think words can't hurt you, but, you know, but they're so thin-skinned. But when they say something about you, and you take a little offense to it, they want to call you thin skin. Oh, you're thin skin. And I hear them so many times talk about how thin skin white people are. White people don't like us talking about them. But I'm sitting there like, yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying about the white folks, but the very thing you accuse the white folks of, you're more than 20 times as guilty as they are. You know?
Yeah.
You look at yourself,
it just seems like you're all that way in college. You know, it's like a daycare where they're just, you know, like you said, you know, encouraging that type of behavior. You know, white people that go to their counselors and, well, you know, they were calling me, you know, snow roach. And, you know, that really hurt my feelings. I'm not a snow roach. And, well, why did it hurt your, are you a snow roach? Really? I mean, you must think you are if you got offended, because otherwise I don't see what your problem is.
I
want those people suspended.
I mean, for real, you know, and like I tell people the N-word doesn't offend me. It doesn't offend. I hear people use that word all the time. I'm like, it doesn't offend me. The only reason why it offends me is because it's a certain group of people that can get away with saying that word, but another group can't get away with. And that's the only aspect of it that offends me. I'm like, well, how come you can use that to refer to your boys in the hood and everything? And someone gets mad, makes you mad or something like that, you calling them a stupid N-word and all that. But if a white person just happens to mention it, they're just repeating what somebody said. They say, oh, I heard this person call this person an N-word. Oh, they get all bent out of shape. I'm like, really, y'all? He wasn't calling anyone the N-word. He was just repeating what somebody else had told him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But old white people.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
People
and then I hear them talking
too
about
much power.
Yeah. And they're saying that they want to take away the power of that word. That's why they use it among themselves. And I'm like, well, if you're trying to take away the power of that word, then why does it offend you when you hear a white person say it? Apparently that word still has a lot of power to you. You know, so
mm-hmm.
But these are the same things.
And that's the thing. It's just saying that word, calling your friend or that, you know, as far as playing around or, you know, my homie or whatever. You're actually putting that person down by using that word and calling them that word. You know, it's not a term of endearment. Let's put it that way.
No.
So to use it among themselves or to use it as a negative against somebody or over somebody, it's still a negative no matter what. And that's what bothers me the most as far as why people use it among themselves is because of that fact, because it's basically putting themselves down, keeping themselves down by using that word to describe a buddy, you know. Anyway, I took enough of your time. I'll let you go. Thank you for taking my call, and we'll keep listening.
Well, stay warm from them blizzards that's supposed to be hitting y'all in Southern California.
We will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. And that's my point with stuff like that. You know, people get all bent out of shape and whatever about words and whatever, but they feel like they can do the same thing to other people. You know, when I was coming up, I was kind of a hypocrite myself when I was growing up, because I used to make fun of other people, but when someone made fun of me, I didn't like it. And one of my fellow students, one of my co-students, this was a white guy. He said, Vincent, you know what? You can dish it out, but you can't take it. And it was so true, because when another student was being berated by others, I joined in the crowd. But then, you know, when someone, you know, when students started berating me, I'd be like, man, stop making fun of me. You're making fun of me. Of course, I don't do that today because I'm a lot more mature. I've crossed that threshold of maturity, which is why I don't understand why grown men and women get so offended when they hear certain words. It triggers them, and they want to go off on people and whatever. And I don't understand that from a lot of people. You know, I'm like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, they used to bother me. But now when I'm an adult, you know, you call me whatever you want to because I'm mature about it. You know, but I'm seeing a lot of people who haven't matured and they just, you know, I guess they haven't learned to grow up yet. But you were going to say something.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's not just the words with certain black males. It sounds. They call them to go plain old bat shit, bat crap. One sound is a newborn baby cry. Ooh, baby, does that make them run? And, of course, the other sound is the police siren. Those two sounds will make them nervous and get up and run.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a point there.
Especially that newborn baby. Do they ever run? But look, man, you're only down about 2 minutes, so I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
I see where they're closing down 40 post offices. What's going on with that?
You know what? I you know, that's the first time I heard about that. I didn't know they were closing down 40 post offices. Oh, my goodness. And
you know, since blacks so predominantly in the post office, I guess they're going to start calling that racism.
Yeah. So is that a nationwide thing, or is it just in one region or something like that?
I didn't get the details.
Oh, okay. I need to look into that, too, you know.
But, all right. I'll see you next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bianchi.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, that's the end of the show. God willing, I should have another show next week. We'll be in another month, being a month of March. And God willing, I should have another show, another edition. Let's keep this thing rolling, you all. And once again, like I said, you know, check out my blog, blackmycoloronly.com. And because, like I said, I'm going to start getting that, you know, fired up and everything and start, you know, putting a little bit more activity to it and whatever. But anyway, you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all have a great week.